Okay, yeah, we have some fun stuff to cover. This is an audio that I will refer you back to three or four times over the course of the new year to get your reminders as needed, because tonight we're covering actually four Mercury retrogrades coming up back to back. The fire signs primarily, and two out of four are dipping into Capricorn and Virgo. Turns out Aries is all Aries. I've been talking about it being Aries Taurus, I just assumed. But it is not. It is only Aries, and at the end of the year, it'll be all Sag. So we're going to dive into what all that means, starting with a little bit of just understanding Mercury in general. This is the processor and helps us with our mind and our intellect and our understanding of what we're perceiving and picking up around in our world, in our course of our day, right? So Mercury is part of the personal package. Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars are all personal planets, and they all move pretty quickly. Sun, Moon, and Mercury are a pretty tight trio, though. So they're together a lot, and they move around the same speed. And so we get to feel this aspect of self where there's this inner and outer, and then the part of you that you express to the world is all connected with Mercury. It's how you think, it's how you express, how you talk, how you write, anything having to do with communication or expression. So we need that. We need that all day, every day. But the thing about it is, especially nowadays with all the technology we have to deal with, like have to deal with, okay? I try so hard to cut back and cut back and cut back, and there's no way to cut it all out yet. Trust me, I'm going to the mountain, y'all. But meantime, while we still have to function here, Mercury's one of those planets you want to know what they're up to when they're moving around, because it causes either really good, open, clear communication, or it blocks it and confuses things. Because usually my thing is, I'll say, and you know, this is usually primarily in my marriage, but I say it in the street too, because sometimes I can look in a person's face and tell they don't understand what I just said. So I will say, I know what I said. Now you tell me what you heard. That was one of the Kelly clarifiers that we do a lot, because we take things in. What I learned about reading a couple of books on the brain is that if our brain doesn't recognize a word or a picture or what's going on in front of us, it will fill in the blank with whatever it's most familiar, whatever's closest. It doesn't even have to be related. That's how detached the brain is, right? So that's why we're always talking about the head and heart connection. When you make sure the heart's involved, does it feel right? Then you can think about, is it the rational, correct way to go, or, you know, proper protocol. So we work with Mercury pretty consciously, especially for all the creators on this line tonight. I know all of you are super creators and have your own ways of expressing. And so when Mercury's kicking, we want to play with different mediums and modalities of expression as well. That's one of the other things we would go to Mercury for. One of the things that I track, because you know I'm all about the cycles, is Mercury moving through these elements, because that's another way that I teach astrology. And here's a heads up, the Astro 101 class is coming in February, March. For those of you who want to learn about astrology through your own chart and your own cycles, that's kind of the way I teach it, so you can embody your wisdom. But one of the ways we track is elements is sometimes easier for people to learn, because astrology is essentially another language. So thinking about what we've been through in recent years and what's coming up in the years to come, I just want to say, you know, sort of 2020 was a water-air combination. So we're talking thoughts and emotions all churned up and getting reset in various ways. 2021, Mercury went backwards in all air signs. And so we talked about this along the way, about how it was activating all this new consciousness and new ideas and new possibilities and new choices. Even though it was COVID, even though there was craziness going on in the world, it did kind of break a lot of standard things and opened us up to thinking different ways. And again, I don't know about you, but it was really hard to ground or anchor or create containers for anything. So it was actually good when 22 came along and Mercury went back and forth over the air-earth combo, because now we were starting to narrow down the choices and ideas and the thinking and what we really, really wanted to express or be a part of. And so it got us to the place where 2023, you all can testify to how it manifested for you. But in general, this was a mind-body reconnect that I've also tracked as usually, you know, Mercury's kind of tricky, so I can't say exact, but most of the time it's about 5 years. So all Earth that we've just come through in this year of 2023, the last time we did that was 2016. Before that was 2010. All Earth. So just think back to those years. Were those years where you made a new connection with your mind-body? Did you gain new consciousness and wisdom that forced you into new literal situations, right? New choices and decisions that forced new literal things. Now, with Mercury having to do a lot with our creative projects, I also said all year was that we were supposed to be creating containers and starting to make those commitments to the ideas that we were channeling or creating or, you know, wanting to express. So based on that, if we were able to kind of recalibrate the mind-body connection, because you have to do that too in this crazy technology world, y'all. We have to remember our base, the human base, is connected to the Earth. All this other stuff is extra bonus. Great. It's wonderful. But your body will break down, and I can testify, if you ignore it. Because anyone that has strong Earth signs in their chart pretty much processes life through their body. So wherever your Earth energies show up, that's where you get super literal. And so let's think about those years and what happened, and were you able to create containers? Like, I definitely birthed new containers during those years, made new commitments and made big choices that changed the course of what I was expressing and how I was expressing. So now that we've come through all Earth, 2024 brings this Earth-Fire combo. Now, we're not really going to get an all-fire in the middle, but we're going to get a couple of chances at it because it's going to go straight into a fire-water combo for 2025. So let's just keep in mind, if we're moving from this nice all-Earth zone of 23 to Earth-Fire of 24, to me, this suggests that we're going to be inspired with new creativity. That's what fire transforms, that Earth, and allows us to rebirth kind of phoenix from the ashes in those departments of your chart, wherever we're going to be talking about, right? So knowing that we're combining fire and earth, now when we do that, we know we need a structure, a container, give the flow a structure. Otherwise, fire and water would be all over the place if we didn't have earth to kind of hold them in a shape, in a container that works for what your needs are. And so let's think about that throughout the year as well. And know that when it moves into 25 and it's fire-water combo, that fire-water is combustible. And there's some big alignments coming in 25 that are also going to be blasting us to the next level. And the next all element will be all water during 26, which means it's going to retrograde through Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio. So just know that every so often we have these all one element years where it's pretty intense in those departments. And I have a PDF I can include in the post called Goodies that kind of lists them out from 2000 to 2050 so you can see which years were which elements. This is what I suggest when people are learning. Most of us know the elements better than the signs. And so if you're still learning the signs, these elements can help you sort of feel into what's necessary for you. Now, the Mercury retrograde itself is going to bring into the light at this time your personal thought patterns and cycles. You know, how's your thinking evolve over time? And if you're going to think bigger cycles, think five-year increments. Let's not go bigger than 5 years. With Mercury, that's another thing. If we're talking timelines, it's 3 weeks for retrograde. The energy of pre-shadow is 3 weeks before, 3 weeks of the actual retrograde, and 3 weeks of post-shadow. So that's 9 weeks, 2 months and change. And when we talk, you're going to see where it's moving faster or slower through these certain signs. So let's think in terms of 3, 6, and 9. Oh, yeah, it's very present. I love it. Think of the ideas that come to you, how they bubble, how you start bringing them into form, and then how you share them with others. How does that work? In our context, for reviewing our lives and thinking in things, and our creative ideas is part of that, then it would be the warm-up over the last 3 weeks. It went into the zone November 10th. We're talking on December 7th. So it's already deep in pre-shadow. And so whatever gets highlighted at those times, y'all, that's what I want to point you to, the things where you had turnarounds and reversals and changed your mind, changed your thinking. And if not, know that that's coming during the retrograde. Usually during the retrograde is when we figure out, oh, yeah, I really don't think that way anymore, or I don't like that idea, or I want to do this a different way, or I want to express a different way. And you go through the review process of what you do and don't like about the last. Yeah, I would say also enlarge that to the last 3 months, because basically Mercury retrogrades quarterly. So we want to think that quarterly we need this mental data dump, this disconnect, and downregulate your nervous system so that you can reset your body in a way that your mind functions better. That's the goal anyway. So just reviewing your thought patterns and the cycles you've been through with these elements I've already laid on the table, your individual ideas, thoughts, and concepts. We do a review of all of that. How you learn, communicate, and express yourself gets a review. How you perceive reality and your personal filter or lens. Okay, so Mercury rules Gemini, Gemini Sag, Virgo Pisces are the processing energies of the zodiac. That's the areas of our lives where we do the most processing. That is our filters and what we use to discern what's going on around us. So the Kellyisms I'm always sharing with you is, in Gemini, we want to ask, is this fact or is this truth? You know, very often fact is a little detached and mind-based, whereas truth is in your heart and you just know it. It's just a knowing, right? With Sag, we want to ask, is this a blind spot that can trip us up, trip me up? Or is this a hidden potential that I'm about to miss because I'm all over here in the wrong corner, you know, focused on the wrong thing? So these are filter questions we want to think about too, right? With Virgo, is it relevant and useful? Is this a productive, effective use of my energy and time and resources? Otherwise, Virgo don't play. Got no time for nonsense. So with Pisces, we have to ask, is it real or perceived or imagined, right? Is this happening to me, or am I picking it up from somewhere else? So these filter questions, the way you filter things, how you perceive, how you think and process information internally or externally, what you're seeing around you, all of that is Mercury's domain. And when it retrogrades, we get to upgrade. We get to pause, to break, to realign. That's what I call it. So some of the effects are what I call divine delays and revealing reversals. Sometimes we think we're on the right track, but spirit's got another plan, and the only way to get our attention is to trip us up or stop us in our tracks. So that is some of the energy that happens, is things slow down or reverse. But here's the thing, y'all. If life was already sucking, a reversal could be a good thing. So I have had Mercury retrograde actually make my life better in many, many cases. And that's the other thing I would say. Out of the 3 or 4 times it retrogrades a year, usually only one's going to put his foot in your ass. Okay, so just, you usually don't get tripped up by all of them. That's just crazy. We would all quit. I know I would. I'd be like, I'm out. That's too much for a Tuesday. I can't do it. So let's be mindful of your own chart, your own energy stelliums, where you have a whole lot of planets in one sign. That means any planet that retrogrades, but especially Mercury, will make you rethink those departments. And so let's be aware. Changing your thinking altogether can happen. There can be a turning point to a new or different direction, and hopefully better. Review, revision, realign, redesign, you know, any of the rewords, make up your own. Different perspective and seeing things from an altogether new angle, you know, that's important too. Again, we can perceive through our own little lens and our own consciousness and our own little narrow bubble that we all live in these days. Or we can allow certain information to help us learn and grow and shift our perspective, right? And that is another thing where you want to make it okay. You know, I do it all the time. Like, I change my thinking. I have new information. I have new experiences. I don't really think that way anymore. And I have to correct the people in my life, family and friends, close people, that get conditioned to your thinking and the way you think. And then when you grow in your consciousness and you don't think that way anymore, if you don't correct them, then they'll just assume you're stuck at the same level you've always been at. And that's not usually true. It's not usually true at all. Now, the areas of life where you're being affected, in this case, let's start with the first one, Sag and Capricorn zone of our charts. This is where you want to make adjustments and tweak and fix. reflect on or change the thought patterns around the area of life would be the issues and things. So let me say, for me, I'm a Sag rising, so Sag rules my first house, Capricorn rules my second house. This is where the upgrade is happening. So I'm going to change my thinking around my identity and purpose and appearance. I'm working out again. I'm eating differently. My son hooked me up. He's a trainer. It's December when I would do that anyway because of my Sag rising. Many of you know I have that wheel that helps us tune into our natural rhythm. I'm a July 1st Cancer, but my chart starts December 2nd. And so all these years of parenting and working and being in the world, I couldn't start my life the way I can now in empty nest in December. And I'm so excited. So this reset is good for me. And Capricorn's second house is values, you know. So I know I'm shifting in what's important to me and my priorities are getting rearranged around here. And most of it's my ideas and thinking. So wherever it is for you, this is that house or two houses where you might have those reversals or be changing your mind. This is where we do want to tend to the details, again, with the review and assessments of where you're at. This is the end of the year kind of assessments. We're past the harvest time. Everything is what it is. So now what is going to hold you or support and protect you in the new year based on what you were able to build in 2023? During this time, retrograde time, we want to talk less and listen more, chat less and say more. We want to process and reflect on the changes in the past 3 months, like I said earlier, and research and develop your ideas and finish projects. That's another way Mercury is always hooking me up, is it helps, because you know what it does? It slows down the emails and the phone calls. It slows down the technology asking me for other things. So I have room to finish things. It's so amazing, y'all. I really encourage you to tune in. The questions to contemplate at this time are, who or what are you a voice for, or what do you want to be a voice for? What is your favorite form of expression? You know you have infinite choices, but what's your favorite? What new information has come into your conscious awareness in the last 3 months? What needs revisioning, reevaluating, redoing, rearranging, rebuilding, recovering, rediscovering, reviewing, renewing, restoring, repairing? Those were my rewords. What kind of review will you do during this time? Now, that could very well depend on the house. So, how will you review your way of thinking and processing data, your thoughts, your ideas, concepts, perceptions, modes of expressing who you are, what you want, and how you feel? Big upgrade. Okay, so deep breath. This is something we're very used to. We've all been through it before. We're going to be going through it again. It's just about awareness. And I think, again, with the elements and signs, the signs in my world represent lessons. The lesson for Sag is kind of owning your truth and being authentic. In our case, we also want to activate the imagination because it's the culmination of our year and we're dreaming up 2024 now. So there's that part of Sag. What I love about the back-to-back is that Sag allows us to vision and to expand and to go way out there in the universe and bring back the most brilliant, unique genius we can conceive of and express. And then Capricorn asks us to make a commitment, create a structure, create some steps for that to manifest. Let's bring it into form. And as we moved into Aquarius, each year, this rhythm is the same every year. How does it serve humanity? How is this progress? How is this advancing from last year? You know, what are we really inspired with for the new year? That all comes at that first power gate in February. And then March, spring, blossom, you know, that's when the seeds pop. It doesn't mean they've fully blossomed like the May gate when we're in Taurus time. That's full bloom. But the seeds start popping in the early, early spring. So we get this rhythm. We work with Sun and Mercury are super close. They're almost always together. They rule that rhythm of our awareness, okay? So 3 to 4 times a year, every quarter, let's take some downtime there. I also have these tools that'll be in the Master 101 class, so I encourage you all, you know, like I said, anyone that wants to go deeper to do that one. But here I break them down by elements. So we have Sag, Aries, and Leo on one page, and they're all together with their element. So for Sag, Mercury moving through Sag is about mental expansion and higher consciousness. These Sag ideas are inspired, imaginative, grandiose, and aspirational. Sag thoughts are conscious, spirited, exalted, diverse, and expansive. Sag concepts are enthusiastic, adventurous, academic, and inquisitive. And because we're working with Mercury here, Mercury in Sag, Sag is ruled by Jupiter, we put Mercury with Jupiter, and that activates your inner storyteller. So we know it's time to tell a new story. And when it's Sag Capricorn, that new story in Capricorn is what you're responsible for, what you're committed to and dedicated to. So we love that. What new story do you want to tell in 24? And no matter what happens to you in 23 or what you lost or gained, you can go forward and be like, well, yes, that was my story. Now this is my new story. Mercury as a filter or process. What story are you telling? What beliefs are guiding your choices and decisions at this time? And when it's retrograde in Sag, which is mutable fire, it is a review of your belief system, ideas, thoughts, concepts, perceptions and conceptions that shape your reality. Very important, okay? And it's part of the processing time. So you want to tend, process, integrate, and make connections when Mercury's in Sag. And we're going to talk about what else is going to hit in a minute. But Capricorn, now when Mercury's moving through Capricorn, it's mental stability and proper function. And so Capricorn ideas are well planned, structured, contained, and traditional in general. Capricorn thoughts are well defined, systematic, inclusive, and fundamental. And Capricorn concepts are well designed, business oriented, and strategic. So now Capricorn's ruled by Saturn, so we put Mercury together with Saturn, and that activates your inner architect. So it's time to design and implement a new plan. Again, we want to dream it up first and then activate it and bring it into practice, activate it completely. When we're filtering and processing through Capricorn, it's what ideas need new containers. Where is your focus and dedication? Do you have decisions to make? Okay, Capricorn rules bones and teeth, and one of its shadow things, if we postpone decisions, we have challenges with our bones and teeth. That's how you know you've put off some choices that need to be made. When it's retrograde, going through Capricorn, cardinal Earth, we review your true purpose, your need to have your ideas, thoughts, and concepts be recognized as useful. That's another thing about Capricorn. It's the value of a good reputation. That's part of its lesson. What do you want to be known for in 2024? So that's another way that we're dreaming with Mercury there, resetting things, slowing down, and touching in on what it's about to touch in on. So let's get into it. Whew, deep breath. So November 10th to February 5th, pretty solid 3 months there. Mercury is in Sag and Capricorn only. So as it's there, it's going to touch different things. When it's in Sag, it's going to square off with Neptune in Pisces at 24 degrees for my numbers people. And if you want the prayer days, this would be a day where you would light a candle, put a glass of water, and write a petition about Mercury and Neptune. This would be your thinking and your consciousness, but it would be tied to your beliefs, your faith, and your spirituality. And in deeper ways, your creativity, because that's super creative when those two get together, but not super practical or logical, okay? So definitely creative, spiritual, other dimension kind of thing. The square is a challenge to grow out of comfort zone into new territory. So you want to grow in your faith and your beliefs. We already have Saturn there in Pisces helping us anchor this new spiritual practices or activate a new spiritual practice of some sort that supports and protects you. So if you've got that going on the good side, then maybe we can ask for the clarity during the review, because anything with Neptune creates confusion and disorientation, let's say, and a crisis of faith that happens. So it could be something tied to that. It could be Sag and Pisces is definitely all up and through the beliefs, y'all. So how are we going to change and grow in what we believe to be true or possible? And so the prayer days for petitions would be November 27th, which I already passed because we're talking on December 7th, December 27th, so right after Christmas, and then January 8th of the new year. If Sag and Pisces are really important to your chart, then you're going to be feeling this one. As it shifts into Capricorn, it's going to sextile Saturn in Pisces, which is an opportunity to gain traction. So again, if we're recalibrating our containers, our presentation, because we want to be known for something different and new in the new year, Saturn's helping us ground that. As long as we stay authentic and connected to spirit, connected to God, allowing spirit to lead, right? We absolutely have to trust that and build the foundation. Prayer days for that, where we can gain some traction asking spirit to assist, would be December 2nd, just a couple of days ago, so we're still in the zone of that. December 21st, which is solstice, magical day to be doing mojo, and January 18th. So those are days where Capricorn and Pisces are mixing it up. Again, if these signs are important to you, then these activations are going to be felt. And then while it's still in Capricorn, doing its review, resetting things with Jupiter in Taurus is going to be a big deal. Again, we're back to, it's almost like if we went in this order, the order is the breakdown precedes the breakthrough, first of all, and the crisis in faith happens first. Then we get practical, we figure out steps and structures and things we can actually do, and then Jupiter brings the blessings. I love it. But because they all get hit three times over, it's still a process. It's not a one and done. So we're in the process of making room for these new blessings that are going to be coming in the new year. When it trines Jupiter, that's a blessing without effort. This is higher mind, lower mind, your thinking versus your consciousness and what you believe. And those prayer days, if you want to write a petition for that, any of that, December 7th today, oh my God, I love it, December 18th and January 19th, and that is at 6 degrees. The Mercury to Saturn one is at 1 degree. I meant to give the numbers, y'all. Now, here's the special one. Here's the special weaving going on. Gotta love the planets. So the special one has also been in process. Here's something that Mercury does very rarely, and that was link up with Mars in an initiation way. So this also tells me that we have to rethink our choices and actions in the departments of life would be Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn. Okay? On October 29th, Mercury hooked up with Mars. This is in my forecast, so if you want more details, those blog posts are always there. But the initiation with Mars is a new cycle, y'all. It's so powerful. Now, it hit its first time in October in Scorpio, at 11 degrees Scorpio. Its second time is December 27th, 2 days after Christmas, at 24 degrees Sag. That's retrograde. So it's like Mercury hit it going direct, then it hit it going backwards, and then it's going to go direct and hit it a third time in Capricorn on January 27th at 17 Capricorn. So this, to me, also says we're resetting things in our power, our beliefs, and what we manifest. It's all connected. Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, we go into Scorpio to conceive the new year. We go into Sag to dream up what that might actually look like. And then we go into Capricorn to manifest it. And somehow Mercury has found a way to link up with Mars, because Mars kept rolling, and that's what happened. Mercury slowed down and ended up hitting Mars as it kept moving, which is deep by itself. So think about the initiation of new thinking around who you are and what you want, which is going to facilitate new choices and actions going forward. That was the special one. So this one is our November to February, first one of the year, that we're already in right now. March 9th to May 15th brings the retrograde through Aries only. It's not going to touch Taurus like I thought it would. But here's what made this one special. And for my Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn babies, you all need to prepare to feel that one. March 9th to May 15th is the zone. And so there are some Pluto bookends, which means ultimately we're all going to rebirth ourselves. Aries is the lesson of independence and courage, having conviction around your identity and purpose. And so with the North Node there, we're all choosing a new life path that's more sovereign and tied to what you really want to do for you, the individual. So that's going to be a powerful reset of our consciousness when Mercury lingers there. It always links up with the sun to reset the cycle. That's how we know that Mercury is starting a new 3 months, basically. And so it's going to do that on 4/11, which is an initiation of the new consciousness. But on April 19th, it conjuncts Venus, one and only time that it touches Venus, but it's retrograde. So what we call this in shamanic astrology is kind of a backstage meeting. This is a council meeting that was private. Not everybody was invited to this council. This was Mercury and the Sun and Venus backstage. And so that in and of itself is saying that we're resetting. Now we've had the reset with Mars. Check it. Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, reset with Mars thinking. Now we reset one time only with Venus and Aries. 17 degrees Aries is where it hits. And when it hits the Sun, it's at 22 degrees Aries. So those numbers, whatever that means to some of you, I know. But either way, we're resetting the values and priorities now around our relationships and finances. And it's very much tied to how we present ourselves. And again, how we communicate and express our individuality with this Aries energy is going to be so powerful. Now, because we didn't have a lot of activations like that first one, we had 3 to 4 activations. This time we only had those 2. I had to look at what was happening around it. Now, I'm going to time out and preface this so I can give Yeye some time. But Yeye, if you are here, I want you to chime in behind this with some social collective 2 cents, because this is what Yeye and I have talked about. We're thinking about doing an astro activism class together. And I'm always super focused on the individual, where she is super focused on the collective. So we're going to bring that together. Because what energy is happening around the Mercury retrograde through Aries time, March, April, May, is all Mars, Jupiter, and Pluto. And Neptune's there too. It's the outer planets. It's the social and collective planets all being hit by Mars, which is who you are and what you want. And also Mars only, you know, it takes 2 years to get around to certain things. So these are rare opportunities. April 10th, Mars conjunct Saturn. So just think of it. If it takes 2 years for Mars to get back to Pisces and Saturn takes 28 to 30 years, I don't even know what the math is to get those two together. But I can look it up and put it in the post called goodies, because there is a cycle to that. That's larger. I want to say it's 24 or 32. And so let's think about the new reality that we're seeding at this time, around the new identity and purpose, around who you are and what you want and how that's evolved in the last 5 years. Let's stay in this 5-year zone if we're going to go to bigger cycles. And know that April 10th is a huge prayer day. It would be personal, having to do with your reality. And Saturn also has to do with our physicality and our physical limits. Mars is the athlete. So improving your body and health. I plan to bank on this one, honey. By April, I want to feel good and look good. So this is important to tap into, but in the Pisces zone of your chart. Where is that? And where is that rebirth of reality happening? Now, while Mars is in Pisces, it links up with Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus, both on April 19th, because, happy birthday to Yeye, April 20th, Jupiter conjuncts Uranus. Now, this is a huge, rare alignment. Jupiter is only in Taurus every 12 years. Uranus is only there every 84 years, again, with the crazy math, to get them there at the same time. They're not going to hit 3 times, though. They're only going to hit that once. So 420, 419, 420, this whole zone in April is huge for manifesting your next level, for expanding your vision, for expanding your reach in the world, for being seen for who and what you are, being ready for that if that's what you're doing. If you're doing private and you're kind of winding down or heading toward retirement, then it still gets to be all about you. I love it. It still is a wonderful Aries vibe with the Pisces Taurus energy helping you gain traction, because they have good energy together. Earth and water works really well together. And Pisces is our dreams and visions, our creativity. It's our spirituality, our connection to God and a connection to each other and all life. And Taurus is the embodiment, the garden, the sensuality, the food and flowers, our physical essential needs being met, which we've already been redreaming because of Jupiter and Uranus being there. Right? We've already been recalibrating what we believe about how long the earth can just sustain being raped constantly, the way, you know, Western culture and consumer culture wants to do. We've got to rethink all that. And Uranus being in Taurus is 84 years ago was post-depression time. And that made some millionaires and made some paupers. It was a crazy time in social collective values. It was a crazy time around money itself and the definition of money. It's when credit was created. It is when the Fed was created, which people think because it says federal in it that it's federal, but it's really a private company. So we need to be mindful of this reset that's happening and make our choices according to our own individual values, because the powers that be don't give a funky damn, okay? And they're not thinking about the average person trying to get through the day over here. So definitely be on your self-preservation Aries warrior tip of, yeah, I got to take care of myself no matter what. And you want to ask about those motivations, you know, why you want what you want. Now, when I said that Pluto bookends it, we are opening with an opportunity March 10th. Remember, we said we go into the zone March 9th. We have this opportunity because at that moment, the day after, this is Aries to Aquarius. Pluto is backing up to that 0-1 degree Aquarius. And so that fire and air zone is being transformed. Aries and Aquarius departments getting a huge rebirth. Again, your identity and your unique contribution is all being rebirthed at this time. And when we come out of it, and that means that Mercury has moved through Aries into Taurus, by that time, Pluto's still going to be in Aquarius. Now it's a challenge. So we're going to grow on the backside of this in, again, kind of the values and the choices that we're going to have to make. At that time will be May, June, okay, when we'll be back in a kind of a certain kind of commitment zone. But huge prayer days would be April 10th for Mars to Saturn. So your masculine, which is how you negotiate on your own behalf, get your ideas in the world and hold good boundaries. Messing with Saturn, which has to do with boundaries and protections. So you're resetting April 10th. April 11th, resetting with the sun, is a whole new cycle of self-expression. And then we jump to April 19th, which is a big day because that's the day Mercury hits Venus and Mars hits Jupiter and Uranus. So Mercury, everybody's going to be active with the thinking and the choices and all kinds of things. So let's be mindful of what you're believing, what you're perceiving, what you're conceiving, and what your boundaries and protections look like, and how well you're doing. Boundaries in your personal life and professional life are going to be really, really, really important. And then April 20th is the big day, Jupiter to Uranus. This is a total awakening of consciousness, rebirth of consciousness. This is when a lot of social collective awakening will happen, you know, and we've had pivot points like this along the way with the harmonic convergence back in the 80s and different awakenings. 2012, you know, a lot of the average people woke up to the fact that we're in a new era. We're entering the Aquarian age for real, for real. And it's a whole different vibration than the Piscean age we're coming out of. So that's a big deal too. Yay, yay, are you here? Do you want to speak on any of that? Yay, yay, can you unmute and talk to us about what you think the social collective might be doing? One of my
Hello?
sisters. Oh my God, yay,
Hello?
yay. Oh my God, talk to us. How you doing?
Well, I missed your opening, but for me, I want to say to the people who are listening, if I heard things correctly, next year, 2024, we really, really need to pay close attention to what's going on and adjust our behavior accordingly.
Well, yeah. Could you speak on the fire and earth elements? Because we
You
know
mean well, you mean volcanoes erupting?
we know that earth is pissed and she's
Yeah.
shaking stuff off. Like, y'all get off me so I
Yes.
can do what I gotta do. So there's some of
Right.
that. And I was just wondering if you could speak to, you know, again, with Jupiter and Uranus getting together, if I remember, I think I already did this math, and the last time they did their thing together in Taurus was actually like something like 1500s or 14 or 1500s. So we have some
Wow.
crazy energy coming back from the 12s, from the 1400s, 1600s. There's a lot of ancient energy being reactivated. And at the same time, because we're in a new energy, new world, new levels of consciousness, new technology to support us in various ways, how can we do this better than the post-depression time in America in particular?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you one thing that, first of all, I will be even clearer about all of this after we get the reading for the year. You know,
That's true.
every
Okay.
year we
Yeah.
get an Ifa divination that will give us guidance for how to get through the year. But the main message that has been coming through is there's a lot of disruption. You know, there's the threat of World War III. There is the ecological disaster. We got tsunamis. We've got volcanoes erupting. We've got all of this going on. And this is, oh yeah, knocking some things down so that we'll have room to create some new things. And we have to do that carefully and in a timely fashion. But the primary message has been, don't panic, prepare.
I say.
Don't panic, prepare, right? And part of preparing is ensuring that we have well-knit functioning communities, you know, because the World Health Organization just announced that the present global pandemic is loneliness and isolation, that people are dying from loneliness, right? And so we need to pay attention to that. and create community and
humans
have more
patience.
Humans
were not meant to be isolated like this, for real. We were not human beings. There's a very small percentage that live on the mountain and belong there. But the rest of us need community. And so that earth and fire, let's be inspired to transform and transcend what we've been living in. Like the thing, like you said, we're going to blow some stuff up. We're going to let go of some things that no longer matter. It's okay. The other vision I've had, you know, and it comes every now and then. And so some of my old people that have been with me a long time have heard me talk about how we're crossing bridges and they're disintegrating behind us. Not because anything bad or awful is back there. It's because we have no need to ever go back there again. It's done.
Ah, shit.
It's just one of those things I get, So thank you, yeah. I hope you'll hang. Well, we have so much more. We have the other two Mercury retrogrades and divinations to cover. How's everybody feeling?
How much more time do we have?
I could cut right to the divinations right now. Can I get anybody to chime in and let me know how you feel? Because the truth is, we could circle back. We got through the first two, and I could schedule something closer in June time for the July and November ones, and we could do this again. Because I'm going to do this imagination and soul famine thing, and I know that you will love it. Okay, let's do that, y'all. Because, yeah, I will circle back for the last two. I'll find a way to schedule that in the middle of summer. All right. Yay. All right, deep breath, because this is the messages. So what I did for this is, because I got such strong guidance about release and reclaim, you know, this is what's going to be happening because of the fire-earth combo. Like we said, there's going to be certain things that we're going to get anchored and make real and create containers and spaces for, and there's going to be other things that we basically transcend in the fire. You know, it would be like when we do our burning bowl, we rip everything up and give it to them. So the release side of things, and think about the reviews that are happening throughout the year. You know, even though we're talking during this first one, keep in mind that this is guidance for the year. So the release side is the soul famine. Again, it's akin to what Yeye was talking about, in that we can't allow our soul to be so neglected for so long and think our mind's going to act right. You know, it's just not, doesn't work that way. So this is from Women Who Run With The Wolves, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who we love. And deep breath, because there's always something just for you. There's burning that goes with joy, and there's burning that goes with annihilation. One is the fire of transformation. The other is the fire of decimation only. It is the fire of transformation that we want. But many people give up their passion, what they love. In this book, it was a story called The Red Shoes. And they were these wonderful little shoes the girl made herself. So like we have all our creative projects, things that we make ourselves that we really value. Many of us give that up and agree to become too cleaned up, too nice, too compliant with someone else's way of seeing the world. We give our joyful red shoes to the destructive fire when we digest values, propagandas, and philosophies wholesale, psychological ones included, meaning we don't question it. We don't let it swirl around in our own systems a little bit. We just take it as gospel and walk with it. We don't want to do that. So the red shoes are burned to ashes when we paint, act, write, do, be, in any way that causes our lives to be diminished, weakening our vision, breaking our spirit, or our spirit bones. We don't want to break those bones that hold us together, right? Spirit bones. Then a woman's life is overcome by pallor. She is hombre del amo, a starved soul. All she wants is her deep life back. All she wants are those handmade red shoes. The wild joy that these represent might have been burnt in the fire of disuse or the fire of devaluing one's own work. They might have been burnt into the flames of self-imposed silence. Deep breath. Too many people make terrible vows years before they know any better, and especially women. As young women, they were starved of basic encouragement and support. And so filled with sorrow and resignation, they put down their pens, closed up their artwork, and vowed never to touch them ever again. A woman in such a condition, or a person in such a condition, has inadvertently entered into the oven along with her handmade life. her life becomes ashes. A woman's life may die away in the fire of self-hatred, for complexes can bite hard and, at least for a time, successfully frighten her away from coming too near the work or the life that matters to her. Many years are spent not going, not moving, not learning, not finding out, not obtaining, not taking on, not becoming. The vision a woman has for her own life can also be decimated in the flames of someone else's jealousy or someone's plain-out destructiveness toward her. Family, mentors, teachers, and friends are not supposed to be destructive if and when they feel envy, but some decidedly are, in both subtle and not-so-subtle ways. No woman can afford to let her creative life hang by a thread while she serves an antagonistic love relationship, parent, teacher, or friend. When the personal soul life is burnt to ashes, a woman loses the vital treasure and begins to act dry-boned as death. In her unconscious, the desire for the red shoes, the wild joy, not only continues, it swells and floods and eventually staggers to its feet and takes over, ferocious and famished. To be in the state of soul famine, a starved soul, is to be made relentlessly hungry. That's what I call the hungry ghost. Y'all have heard me talk about that. Then a woman burns with a hunger for anything that will make her feel alive again. A person who has been captured knows no better and will take something, anything that seems similar to the original treasure, whether it's good or not. A woman who is starved for her real soul life may look cleaned up and combed on the outside, but on the inside she is filled with dozens of pleading hands and empty mouths. In this state, she will take any food regardless of its condition or its effect, for she is trying to make up for past losses. Yet even though this is a terrible situation, the wild self will try over and over again to save us. It whispers, whimpers, calls, drags our fleshless carcasses around in our night dreams until we become conscious of our condition and take steps to reclaim the treasure, I say. Deep breath. So this is part of that sad awareness of what is truth for you, what is authentic for you, what do you really believe to be true or possible for yourself. We can better understand the woman who dives into excesses, the most common being drugs, alcohol, and bad love, and who is driven by soul hunger by noting the behavior of the starved animal. Like the starved soul, the wolf has been portrayed as vicious, ravenous, preying upon the innocent and the unguarded, killing just to kill, never knowing when enough is enough. As you can see, the wolf has a very bad and unearned fairy tale and real life reputation. In actuality, wolves are dedicated social creatures. The entire pack is instinctively organized, so healthy wolves kill only what is needed for survival. Only when there is trauma to the individual wolf or to the pack does this normal pattern loosen or change. There are two instances in which a wolf kills excessively. In both, the wolf is not well. A wolf may kill indiscriminately when it is ill with rabies or distemper. A wolf may kill excessively after a period of famine. The idea that famine can alter the behavior of creatures is quite a significant metaphor for the soul-starved woman or person. 9 times out of 10, a woman with a spiritual psychological problem that causes her to fall into traps and be badly hurt is a woman who is currently being starved or who has been critically soul-starved in the past. Among wolves, famine occurs when snows are high and game is impossible to reach. Deer and caribou act as snowplows. Wolves follow their paths through the high snow. When the deer are stranded by high snowfalls, no plowing occurs. Then the wolves are stranded too. Famine ensues. For wolves, the most dangerous time for famine is winter. And this is also the loneliest time for a lot of people. For woman, a famine may occur at any time and can come from anywhere, including her own culture. Don't we know it? For the wolf, famine usually ends in springtime when the snows begin to melt. Following a famine, the pack may throw itself into a killing frenzy. Its members won't eat most of the game they kill, and they won't cachet it either. They leave it. They kill much more than they could ever eat, much more than they could ever need. A similar process occurs when a woman's been captured and starved, suddenly free to go, to do, to be. She is in danger of going on a rampage of excesses, too, and feels justified about it. The girl in the fairy tale, too, feels justified in gaining access to the poisonous red shoes at any cost. There is something about famine that causes judgment to be blighted. Deep breath. So when the treasure of a woman's most soulful life has been burned to ashes, instead of being driven by anticipation, a woman is possessed by voraciousness. So for instance, if a woman wasn't permitted to sculpt, she may suddenly begin to sculpt day and night, lose sleep, deprive her innocent body of nutrition, impair her health, and who knows what else. Maybe she cannot stay awake a moment longer. Ah, reach for the drugs, for who knows how long she will be free. Soul famine is also about starvation of the soul's attributes, creativity, sensory awareness, and other instinctual gifts. Okay, how many of us put that all on the back burner? Deep breath. Make time periodically on a regular basis to tap in to your creativity, your sensory awareness. What are you really picking up as a human being? Your five senses, your six senses are what tells you what's going on around you for real. And those other instinctual gifts is what I'm talking about. If a woman is supposed to be a lady who sits with her knees kissing only each other, if she was raised to keel over in the presence of rough language, if she was never allowed to drink anything but pasteurized milk, then when she is freed, look out. Suddenly, she may not be able to drink enough of those slow gin fizzes. She may sprawl like a drunken sailor, and her language would peel the paint off the walls. After a famine, there is a fear that one will again be captured someday. So one gets while the getting is good. Deep breath. Overkill through excesses or excessive behaviors is acted out by women who are people who are famished for a life that has meaning and makes sense for them. Okay, this is another thing about Sag time and Mercury digging up in that zone. When a woman has gone without her cycles or creative needs for long periods of time, she begins a rampage of, you name it, all the common excesses. When we do this, they're compensating for the loss of regular cycles of self-expression, soul expression, and soul satiation. Deep breath. The starving woman endures famine after famine. She may plan her escape, yet believe that the cost of fleeing is too high, that it will cost her too much libido, too much energy. She may be ill-prepared in other ways, too, such as educationally, economically, spiritually. Unfortunately, the loss of treasure and the deep memory of famine may cause us to rationalize that excesses are desirable. And it is, of course, such a relief and a pleasure to finally be able to enjoy sensation, any sensation. Deep breath, be careful. A woman newly free from famine just wants to enjoy life for a change. Her dulled perceptions about the emotional, rational, physical, spiritual, and financial boundaries required for survival endanger her instead. For her, there is a pair of poisonous red shoes glowing out there somewhere. She will take them where she finds them. That is the trouble with famine. If something looks like it will fill the yearning, a woman will seize it. No questions asked. Deep breath. So this soul famine is when, like I said, you're not living your truth. You're not being connected to more positive vision for what's possible. This is when we ask about the blind spot and the hidden potential. What's the hidden potential, even in a loss or a suffering or anything that's happened to you that you didn't want this year? Let's look for the blessings. That's what Jupiter ruling Sag makes us do. How is this perfect? You know, I've had several losses and turnarounds that in hindsight, I'm like, that was such divine order. And I know you all can call in those experiences too. And if you can't, the guidance for reclaim, which comes from Kathy Pagano, Wisdom's Daughters, which I would love it if she was here. She could be here. How women can change the world is all about imagination. And she speaks to a lot of the worldly stuff that we've got going on. So, again, if we can reset things with it going, here's the thing, too. It's going to retrograde in Capricorn and go direct in Sag, which means if we can reset what we're responsible for in our structures and our containers, then we can believe anything we want to believe. You know, we can expand the story any kind of way. And that's another Kellyism, I say. When nothing's in place, then anything is possible. So let's go. Let's activate that imagination this season and even use the Mercury retrograde when things are going wrong to say, you know, how is this perfect? What is this good for? I can use this some kind of way. Reveal the hidden potential right now, please. Thank you. And keep it moving. So for the guidance for reclaiming, as we do these resets through our earth and fire signs this year, imagination is foremost the language of the feminine, of the heart, of life itself. It is a soul language of images and symbols, of music and art, myth and spirituality, a language that has the ability to move us at the deepest levels of our being. It is also the universal language of our species, the one language that we all share, the language of dreams and visions. We tend to relegate imagination to children, but it is too powerful a tool to leave behind once we leave our childhood. Women also tend to have wonderful imaginations, but through centuries of persecution and denigration, women have abandoned this intuitive way of knowing when we wanted to make our way in a man's world. Deep breath. In his intriguing book, The Alphabet Versus the Goddess, the brain surgeon, Dr. Leonard Schlein, believes that we are just now beginning to relearn what he calls the language of the goddess, the language of images, through the medium of films and television, as well as through our use of the internet. It seems we are depending more and more on images for information. It is a fascinating study that explores the different ways human beings perceive and integrate the world into their consciousness. His thesis is that once people and cultures learn to read and write and abandon their oral and pictorial traditions, their culture goes through tremendous changes, which develop the left side of the brain and cause that culture to become predominantly masculine in orientation, valuing linear, sequential, reductionist, abstract thinking. It also downplays feminine values and ultimately women's power in the culture. Literacy has promoted the subjugation of women by men throughout all but the very recent history of the West. Misogyny and patriarchy rise and fall with the fortunes of the alphabetic written word. Whether this is the whole truth or not, it is an interesting theory about how our brains change the culture we live in. We know more about the complementary, or how the two polarities complement the modes of consciousness through the work of neurologists on the functions of the right and left hemispheres of the brain. The left side of the cerebral cortex of the brain controls the right side of the body, and the right side of the cortex controls the left side of the body. The structure and function of these two hemispheres is related to two different types of consciousness that exist simultaneously within each of us. The left hemisphere is predominantly involved with analytical, logical thinking, whose method of operation is primarily linear and sequential. We associate these concepts with the left side of the brain, the masculine, day, doing, the active, the rational, light, time, intellect, linear, sequential, heaven, and cause and effect. The right hemisphere is primarily responsible for our orientation in space, artistic endeavors, body image, and recognition of faces. We associate these concepts with the right side of the brain, the feminine, night, being, intuitive, dark space, sensuous, eternity, nonlinear, the receptive, and synchronicity. The right brain is more holistic, simultaneous, and integrative than the left hemisphere. Deep breath. Brain studies show us that women's brains are different from men's brains. In her beautiful book, An Alchemy of Mind, Diane Ackerman explains the difference between how men and women process the world. A woman's brain has a larger corpus callosum, the sparkling bridge between the hemispheres, and also a larger anterior commissure, which links the unconscious realms of the hemispheres together. This may allow the emotional right side to contribute more intensely to the left side's conversation, though, and other doing, so we blend them together. Men more often focus on a problem with the hemisphere that specializes in, while women tend to recruit both sides of the brain, okay? Girls emphasize what they have in common, and boys roughhouse with each other, talk competitively, and avoid eye contact. Males do better on math, reasoning, figure, ground, and spatial tests, and have better aim, while girls excel at language, thought, and other doings. Men more often focus on a problem with the hemisphere of brain that specializes in it, while women tend to recruit both sides. Men have a harder time reading facial expressions than women. Men have more activity in the limbic brain and so react to emotional situations through actions. If angry, they attack. If fearful, they run away. Women's brains show more activity in certain places adjacent to the language areas. They deal with emotions in a more symbolic fashion. They talk about them. Women tend to worry more about losing attachments while men worry more about losing faith. Men become more jealous over sexual infidelity while women become jealous over emotional fidelity. So back to Kathy Pagano, that was the quote from Diane. The feminine outlook values a holistic, simultaneous, synthetic, and concrete view of the world. Images form the natural language of feminine consciousness, which connects us to the sensual world of appearances. Jung believed that the psyche soul entails the imaginative possibilities of our human nature. The right side of the brain perceives all parts of the picture simultaneously, creating a whole gestalt. This is what a symbolic image does. It expresses the whole meaning of the idea. Feminine consciousness is an inner vision first and foremost, the inner vision of the feminine spirit. So this is also what we can call in during a retrograde time. It is the language of images that is the mother tongue of Lady Wisdom. For the past few centuries, Western culture marginalized this vision until we invented the moving picture and saw our inner images projected out into the world. We have to understand how the power of images affects psyche, since we've deluded ourselves into thinking that we have no effect at all. The biggest delusion is that our dreams are meaningless, when in fact they are the royal road to our inner wisdom. We have to question how movies and television affect us and our children and our beliefs. We know from what the Nazis did in Germany that people can be manipulated by the use of archetypal images and symbols. And look at how our corporate media misuses the power of images to influence people into thinking they need to buy and consume their products. It is up to our artists and writers, our teachers and visionaries, and people who are the caretakers of life to make sure that we don't twist the meaning of images or use them to manipulate our beliefs. If we let this happen, we kill the imagination, the source of our creativity and wisdom. We can learn to use the imagination wisely once we understand its true value, and it will help us solve the overwhelming problem of creating a free society here and around the world. It is only through balancing and valuing both masculine and feminine perspectives that we can create real change in our attitudes and beliefs about what is possible, what is life-giving, what is needed to heal the world. Deep breath. If what Dr. Schlein says is true, it seems we all learned a masculine vision of life through the process of learning to read and write. While the eye scans the linear sequence of letters in words to discover their meaning in a one-at-a-time fashion, we are learning to think abstractly and see separation rather than wholeness. Now, I'm not proposing we stop reading and writing. I don't know a single woman who doesn't love to read. We just need to learn how to put our wonderful imaginations to work in solving life's problems. So what is the imagination, and how is it more important than knowledge? The first thing you need to know about imagination is that you need to use it to understand it. A very concrete, feminine way of learning. This is embodiment, y'all. That's what we do. Then you have to understand how humans have related to it through the ages. When was the last time you sat around a campfire in the woods, listening to a breeze moving through the leaves overhead, and then looking up, being amazed by the brilliant stars playing hide-and-seek beyond the treetops? The night, the fire, the stars, and the breeze in the trees all evoke a response in you, a response of joy and wonder. Before long, you might find yourself telling stories to others if they are with you, or to yourself if you are alone. Your imagination is awake, and you find yourself meeting the universe face to face. This is how children feel. This is also how our ancestors felt in the face of the majesty of life, before our modern rationality or our modern conveniences blinded us. Often it is only at night or in nature that we are able to come close to this ancient mystery once again. The Native Americans lived close to this mystery day and night, as did the Celts and other Aboriginal peoples. They lived with hearts open to the mysteries of Earth, and they were able to penetrate the veils between the worlds. The Aborigines of Australia can still walk into the dream time. Celts might vanish into the hollow hills where the fairy folk still dance. Is our modern life so full of joy that we dare banish these other realms forever as just stories? I think not, since joy is one of the things that is singularly lacking in most people's lives today. Deep breath. We once had joy, not so very long ago. We still believed in the cosmos that was friendly and awesome and full of mystery. Nature was alive with spirit, and we humans were part of nature. We had a sense of place. We belonged here. Then, in the 16th century, at the beginning of our modern era, with its new scientific worldview, we lost our inheritance. We no longer saw ourselves as a part of nature. Unlike such scientists as Galileo, Newton, and Kepler, who combined a deep reverence for the cosmos as God's creation and a need to understand and prove how that creation worked, this new scientific philosophy viewed matter as dead. They taught us that Earth is only dead matter, animals have no feelings, and plants have no consciousness. This belief itself sprang from a religious viewpoint that believed that life on Earth was inherently evil. Science slowly gave us a new view of ourselves, and suddenly we don't fit into this picture of a dead world that has to be conquered at all costs. We lost our true home when we stopped honoring this beautiful earth as our mother and sustainer, and instead rushed to own, rape, and abuse her. Corporations, fictional entities that now have the same rights as human beings, and governments have used this philosophic carte blanche to conquer nature and turn it into commodities that keep the global economic machinery running. This philosophy of life not only alienates us from our environment, but ultimately from ourselves. This philosophy says the world is a machine, that there is no God, therefore there is no meaning in life. If the laws of the universe are just mechanical, then goodness and justice and mercy play no part in life. This has developed into a philosophy of greed that is pervasive in companies that destroy the environment as well as in people's lives in their pursuit of the almighty dollar. This worldview says that since there is no ultimate meaning in life, why be responsible for my life? Is it any wonder that there is so little joy in our modern world since we are taught that these are the rules of the game? The riddle we are faced with now is how do we bring new life into this death-oriented system, I think, that most modern people are living. Modern life demands that we work more, consume more, and are in more debt than ever before. There is a too-muchness about modern Western culture that speaks of a hidden dissatisfaction with the glories of the capitalist system. Wanting so many things indicates that nothing is satisfying. We are like little children on the day after Christmas who discard their new toys before they have ever become beloved. Jung once described the psychoneurosis as the suffering of a soul which has not discovered its meaning. Jung saw this suffering as a symptom of spiritual stagnation and believed it to be a major symptom of Western culture. And look at how these symptoms have spread around the world, giving rise to rampant consumerism as well as religious fanaticism. We have created a world out of balance, overvaluing a dead-end masculine perspective at the expense of the feminine perspective that understands the cycles of life and death. We won't be able to relieve the immense suffering of poor and outcast peoples from the dangers of war, disease, and hunger until we reconnect to our spiritual nature and honor such basic human values as truth, love, sacrifice, and honor. And in America, we have to look at the violence that is so prevalent in a society that prides itself on goodness and freedom and ask how we've helped to create it. According to a Senate Judiciary report, the U.S. is most violent and self-destructive nation on earth, and it leads the world in violent crimes, most especially against women. There's more violence, more homelessness, more sickness, toxic pollution, addiction, and useless consumption and waste than in any other society that we know of. These symptoms surely suggest that something about the way we live is hurtful and destructive. If we have nothing that feeds our souls, we languish and die. So we create death all around us. Once we remember and reclaim these powers of feminine spirit, living through its transformative mysteries ourselves as women, we can initiate the transformation of the collective consciousness, bringing to birth a new consciousness of individual destiny and responsibility, as well as a renewal of the culture. Deep breath. This is how we can send our love into the future, by fully living in the now, Ashe. This new vision comes from the wings of the eagle that are bestowed on the woman, wings that are given to us once we see that we have a spiritual heritage that calls us to create heaven here on earth. We can see this already happening as more and more people turn to the search for wisdom, for understanding, and for meaning. As we begin the new millennium, we must be sure that the old powers that be do not try to absorb this new feminine spirit into the old order, like the king's desire to marry Furskin. This is in her story. So this might come up a little bit in here. In Kathy Pagano's book, she talks about the different kinds of consciousness that we all embody: lunar consciousness, solar consciousness, celestial consciousness, and Furskin is when we're in the body. The story is this unnatural king who wants to marry his daughter kind of thing, and she has to escape him. And that's us escaping patriarchy, wanting to own and control us. Not just women, but the people in general is what they want to do. This is the dragon of unconsciousness who waits to devour the woman's child. We wear the fur mantle until such time as we can also wear the dresses of the sun for the solar consciousness, the moon for the lunar consciousness, and the stars for the celestial consciousness. Once we can wear those dresses in front of everyone, each woman must pick her own king if she is truly to become queen and not be coerced into marriage of convenience with the powers that be. Women want to be granted sovereignty during this time of cultural transition, just as Scheherazade faced the destructiveness of the Sultan and brought about his transformation. So too, we must face the destructiveness of our time with a new vision and a new story and transform it into a new awareness and a new and fuller life, which with Mercury makes it personal, with the fact that it's going to tap into all those social and collective things too, means that anything that we shift internally is going to affect the collective as well in a good way. This new paradigm being birthed is based on the union of spirit and matter, centering our lives on honoring both in nature and within each other. We can fully live our stories by honoring the beauty and mystery of night, as well as the vision and productivity of day. By giving thanks to Brother Wind and Sister Water, Brother Fire and Sister Earth, in waking to the magic of each new dawn, we will find our energy renewed, and each new sunset will take back our excess energy to be renewed in the night. Honoring feminine spirit amidst the fullness of our earthly life is not only possible, but necessary. It is our calling and great destiny, for if we don't do it, who will? Women need to share our new wisdom of transformation with the men. Like Aphrodite, who grew out of the foam surrounding the phallus of Uranus, as it floated in the ocean, this new revelation comes from heaven and mixes with the waters of the collective unconscious to create their union, which is love. Aphrodite calls us to understand and accept our sexuality. She brings us to a new awareness of the dynamics of relationship that will strengthen the bonds between men and women, Ashe. In the image of the goddess Aphrodite, we see how the power of Lady Wisdom, which is love, beauty, sacred sexuality, and unity, can be the foundation of all our relationships. So again, remember when we come out of Sag into Capricorn, we start building foundations. Deep breath. And the better we do it for ourselves, then the better our relationships will unfold as well. So this consciousness that comes through all acts of love is a larger awareness and understanding of how we are all one. Sexual union makes us open ourselves to another, deepen ourselves with another, understand ourselves through another. Women have to relearn the ancient arts of lovemaking, seduction, and enchantment. This is not about manipulation or servitude, however. If women come to lovemaking knowing our own power, we can become Aphrodite's priestesses for our lovers. Then love gives us the strength to be open and vulnerable to each other and to all of life's experiences. As we come to understand the power and creative possibilities of this power to transform, as we feel it at work within our own souls, we will be able to awaken this feminine power within others. Men will want this tremendous transformative love instead of being afraid of it. It is our great gift to them, just as their gift to us has been knowledge of our individuality, which is the greatest gift of the masculine spirit. With a true mutual sharing between women and men, will come a new masculine creativity that is in tune with this new feminine spirit. Once we contact the transformative power of the feminine within ourselves, we begin to perceive and concretely experience the reality of other dimensions of life, an imaginal consciousness which can open us to the many tremendous possibilities that are encoded and yet still unused in our DNA. Our task is soul-making, the task of awakening our souls through love and desire. As the world comes alive around us, we know that we are unity of body, soul, and spirit. Life will take on these many dimensions, and our true connection with others and with the world at large will become evident. As we come to know ourselves, we will learn to accept the desires and yearnings that this feminine spirit engenders within us and find ways to creatively express them. Whereas before we were cut off from our instinctual natures, we will now learn to express the passions and desires of our feminine sexuality in conscious ways. Like Sir Gawain in the story, we must give sovereignty to the feminine spirit of life. This means making love, beauty, playfulness, artistic creativity, courtesy, connectedness, and the wisdom of the earth your priorities. Where before we were trained to obey like good daughters of the Father and follow conventional standards set up for us by church and state, we must now listen to the inner voice of the feminine spirit, discriminating between right and wrong according to our own consciousness and based in our own ideals, for we must never forget that we are all one, and what we do to another person, animal, or the earth herself, we truly do to ourselves. As we become individuals, we learn to take responsibility for our lives, choosing to follow our own destinies. Free will, the gift of spirit to humanity, means freely choosing to do what must be done. Then indeed, the gifts of spirit will be poured out upon our humanity. Deep breath. We need to use all three types of consciousness, masculine, feminine, and spiritual, to be truly free. In terms of the world, women need to reshape the culture away from our concern with economics to a more creative, life-giving culture that values differences and honors the earth. We do this through a rebirth of our spiritual consciousness, seeing God and Goddess in all things, honoring the earth, our personal lives, others, our creativity, and our compassion. We are here on earth to learn the lessons of Aphrodite, born of the starry heavens and the waters of the earth. She is God's Sophia, fallen to earth. She wants us to see the world and each other through the eyes of love and wisdom. As we come to know ourselves, we will begin to see the Goddess face to face. This seeing will enable us to incarnate her spirit in our individual ways. No two women will need to be alike, nor look alike, but to manifest their own beauty. Each woman, in discovering which gifts the Goddess has given her, will manifest what woman is and what she can become. Someday there will be girls and women whose names will no longer signify merely an opposite of the masculine, but something in itself, something that makes one think not of any complement and limit, but only of life. Our bards, the poets, musicians, and storytellers are already singing about their experience of this new woman. They give us a picture of real women who are totally accepted with love and not a little confusion, because her lover sees the Goddess in her, the warm and sweet love, the hard truth of the eye of death, the innate intelligence and skill, and the turbulent passions and feelings of our longings. Woman becomes a man's grounding, like Mother Earth herself, and he can come to accept the unexpected as part of it all. Ashe. Woman is a word that will come to mean many things. Woman will be seen in many images, but the connecting thread of all these images, all these words, all these textures, will be the open, loving, passionate, transformational character of each woman. It will be the golden beauty of life which surrounds a woman, wisdom won by stubborn and day-long toil, which adorns and clothes her. The divine image will shine out from her, and people will once again see the beauty of Lady Wisdom on earth in the form of her daughters. This transformed consciousness is our next evolutionary leap. It is the goal of an awakened humanity, for otherwise we would not have stories that speak of it. Deep breath. So, go rewrite your story this month, y'all. and really think about how you can inspire that new layer to be exposed. Like, again, with the peeling the layers or shedding the skin or transcending through fire and transformation, that way of revealing your next higher self, right? Because that's another part of this Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn corridor, is we get back in touch with our soul self and our higher self, and that's what we call into form and into some kind of foundation to stand on that protects us and supports us going forward. So watch that monkey mind, track those dates for times and places to be still and observant, receptive. During a Mercury retrograde, that's the best way to roll. Don't have high expectations, don't push the river, but allow things to be revealed to you and make those choices and decisions once it's on the other side of direct. So we went so deep, and I'm so grateful to the community for showing up every month. Really just want you to get in touch with your soul and your higher self for this one, this first one. Then when we get to the Aries one in March, April, May, you can embody it, right? Right now we're conceiving and conceptualizing and putting together different things. By spring, we can start really embodying and acting and expressing all of that. We know in America, at least, it's going to be a crazy election year. So the crazy is going to be increased across the board. But if we are anchored in something really good in our spiritual practices, in our body work, in taking mental breaks or technology breaks or phone breaks or whatever you call it to just decompress, the more we can do that, tune into earth and nature and our bodies, the better off we'll be when we go to make those choices and decisions, you know? And down-regulate your system, y'all. Don't over-schedule during those times. Do the best to be flexible and open. And that's the other thing that brings miracles, y'all, when we're not attached to one way. If we can improvise and allow spirit to bring certain unusual elements to the forefront so that we can deal with them, that brings miracles, too. And this is miracle season, so I'm calling it in. And thank y'all for hanging tough so late. Thank you so much for everyone that came, that donated, that's listening to the replay. I'm very, very grateful for this community. Power Circle has been around since 1999 and is constantly evolving and changing as we do in community. So thank you all. Please reach out directly with any ahas or revelations and any magic that happens between now and spring. And then we'll get together in the summer to get the other Mercury retrogrades for the closing part of the year. Because by then, we're going to be redreaming an even bigger reality for Social Collective, y'all. Get yourself together, because it's about to be intense in the world in ways that if you are at least somewhat grounded in your truth, you can navigate a lot better than if you're not. That's probably any time, but in particular, 25, 26 are going to be pretty intense new energies to deal with that we've never experienced in our lifetime, okay? And much love. Thank you, everybody. Be well.